We had yesterday text number 4, which was very informative. It showed us a little bit that which particular form and pastimes of Raghunath Das Goswami wants to see. He used the name Gandharva Giridhari, which is a name of Radha and Krishna in a very loving loving pastime. It is also like Radha Kanaya Lal or Radha Gokulananda. They are also deities of this particular rasa, the Shringas, Shringara rasa. And we know that by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu becoming initiated in the mantra which has Gopi Jana Valabha in it, Krishna, the pleaser of the gopis, that this is the goal through which to which Mahaprabhu also wants to guide the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So now in text 4 and 5, let us see how much we will cover this evening. We hear about the different graded realms in the spiritual world, and this is of great interest for us. It describes our ultimate destination. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Vaikuntarabhisoda Atma Javrita Dvara Vati Sapriya Yatra Shri Satanindi Patamaishi Brindai Prabhu Kelati Prema Chetra Masotato Pimatura Preshta Hare Janmato Yatra Shri Braja Evara Jatitaram Tameva Nityam Bhaje.
The city of Dvaraka, where the brother and sons of the Lord reside, and where the Lord enjoys transcendental pastimes with a great multitude of queens, each eclipsing many hundreds of goddesses of fortune, is dearer even than the Vaikuntha worlds. Next comes Mathura, because it is the place of Lord Krishna's birth. Mathura, the abode of transcendental love, is even more dear than Dvaraka. Krishna is born there. Now within the district of Mathura, there's a jewel, which is the land of Sri Vraja, which is splendidly manifest. I eternally worship that land of Mathura. Let us summarize. In spiritual circles, it is known that beyond this material world, there is the undifferentiated Brahman. Higher than Brahman is the Vaikuntha planets, where the Lord is served by his servitors. higher than Vaikuntha is Dwaraka, where Krishna enjoys wonderful pastimes along with hundreds of queens headed by Rukmini and Satyabhama. These queens are all expansions of the goddess of fortune. Also in Dwaraka, there is the brother of the Lord, Balaram. And so on. This is higher than Vaikuntha because there are more rasas than in Vaikuntha. We find also that Vasudev and Devaki and Rohini moved there to be close to their son Krishna. There is a parental rasa. There is also a brotherly rasa, like Balaram. We don't hear of the brother of Narayan. There's no brotherly rasa. But higher than Dwaraka even is Mathura, because it is in Mathura where still higher rasas are found. Mathura, this is what Raghunath does. Goswami says, has a splendid jewel. It's Braja. So this is a little bit common in Vaishnav theology. You find the same reasoning in the Nectar of Instruction or Upadeshamrita. There Rupa Goswami takes us through different higher realms, and he ends really at Radhakund, describing it to be the most special place because of the full uninhibited flow of the highest of all rasas, which include all the other rasas, that is the Madhurya rasa. But in this verse, Raghunath Goswami doesn't speak about the glories of Braj. He wants to take us on a journey. He says to us, there is the suffering world of Dukalayam Ashashvatam, of birth and death, but then there is the world of deathlessness above it, the Brahman, but higher is the Vaikuntha planets, and then finally you have Dwaraka and Mathura. I would like to express something which is very important to be said in this relationship or in here. See, we all have an inborn tendency, dharma, which is to serve someone. Now, in this world, in this material world, we serve other people. Mostly, actually, we don't even serve other people. We serve our own interests and senses. So the service mentality, our dharma, is very covered here. Now, if you, if we really don't serve someone else, we serve ourselves. It's the land of selfishness. Now, slowly, as a person becomes more realized, this, it's called seva vritti, begins to expand. It's almost like in the world, the seva is only there as a little spark which is soon extinguished. But in Vaikuntha world, in the Vaikuntha worlds, you, the seva vritti is more expanded. Actually, there you find everyone engaged in the service of Narayan. Mostly Narayan is glorified there with hymns, but there are different other services. For instance, Garuda carries the Lord on his back es ist transcendental vehicle. Then there are guards who guard the different entrance ways of Mathura, the Vaikuntha worlds. And in this way, there are many different types of services rendered. But because the devotees in the Vaikuntha world relate to Narayan with a sense of awe and reverence, therefore they don't come very close to him. They always are a little bit in the distance, and they are always addressing the Lord in a very formal way. We find this when Gop Kumar, who is a devotee of Vrindavan Krishna, enters the Vaikuntha worlds. He wants to entertain the Lord with some service, so he takes a cowherd boy flute and begins to plays different flute songs and calls out lovingly, "Hey Gopal!" So the Vaikuntha residents are highly annoyed by this. They say, in North German language, you would say, Töfmann, you know, pacify yourself, be calm. You're dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Don't make this village music for him. You know, it should be very good classical, and your songs should be classical Vedic compositions, you know. They almost cover his mouth and tell him, if you want to stay here, better you learn some good behavior and dress also properly. You have this cowherd boy dress. This is not what we wear here. We wear formal clothes here. You know, and they want to tell him to shape up in the Vaikuntha style. But Gop Kumar's heart is, he doesn't yet know why he feels so much of a yearning in his heart, because he is not really consciously knowing of Gopal until he receives some further instructions. So, okay, but now higher than Vaikuntha is Mathura, because people there have a very natural sense of closeness to Krishna. They feel Krishna is born in Mathura. He is one of us. It's almost, you know, like, let us say we have two devotees here from one of the same town, Sarajevo. You know, if someone is from Sarajevo, if they meet him, others may think he is a big star, like Goran Bregovic, and so on. But the Sarajevo people will say, "Hey, Gorane!" They will speak very informal and close to him, especially when they are not in Sarajevo, but outside of Sarajevo. Then there is a sense of camaraderie. Or even Nikundya and Viparket, if you see someone from Russia here in India, you will immediately, even if he is a president, you will say, "Harasho!" and talk very Russian, you know, with different Russian words, like "Harasho" is the best word, you know. So naturally, we feel some closeness to someone who's born in our town or in our country, especially our town. So the people in Mathura, when they see that Krishna has killed Kamsa, they think, "Yeah, he's the boy from our town, you know. He is the boy from our town. He's that is to be expected. We are strong. We Mathuravasi, you know. And he's from here, you know." And they are not satisfied to hear that some say Krishna comes from Vrindavan. They, "No, he is from our town. he's our boy, you know, our town boy. That's also, you know, everyone related to Srila Prabhupada very respectfully. But when Prabhupada came after preaching in the West for the first time to Vrindavan, the mayor of Vrindavan, his name was Vishwamba Goswami, organized a royal reception, and it was made clear he's from our town, he comes from Vrindavan, therefore he could go all over the world, you know. And Prabhupada responded to this naturally, you know, yes, I'm from Vrindavan, and yes, you are my close people. Now Raghunath Das Goswami in this verse, he alludes means he hints that you see, yatra Sri Braja Eva Raja Titaram. There's a Raja Titaram, a jewel in Mathura, in the district of Mathura, which is Sri Braja. And in text 6, he will talk about this Vrindavan, and I would love to, just so that we can tomorrow in Radhakund, I want to talk about text 7. So let us just go through text 6. It will be a brief text. Yatra kridati marava priyatamai snikta sakinam kuler nityam gararasena rama sahito pyadya pigo charanai yasya pyad buddha maduri rasavidam ridyeva kapispuret Preshtam tan matura purat apihare goshtam tat eva shraye. Even today, affectionate Lord Madhava enjoys the very sweet nectar of transcendental pastimes there in Braj, herding the cows with his brother and his many dear friends. A wonderful sweetness becomes manifest in the hearts of they who understand the nectar of this place. O Braj, which is more dear even than the city of Mathura, I take your shelter. So, higher than Mathura is Braj, and even today, today means now, on Sunday, the so-and-so-vierte, even now, affectionate Lord Madhava enjoys very sweet transcendental pastimes here. And Raghunath Das Goswami mentions one pastime, that is, he goes every morning out with his many friends and his brothers, herding the cows. These are the cow herding pastimes of Krishna. The Bhagavatam tells us about Krishna's fascination with the land of Braj. In his early childhood, he was brought from Gokula here to Vrindavan. This is Govardhan and Radhakunda area, is the forest of Vrindavan. And there, he immediately, when they arrived and made their encampment of carts, he slipped away from the lap of his mother, and he looked, and he liked the forest of Vrindavan, the Govardhan, and the Yamuna very, very much. In his early childhood, he would crawl near the house of Nanda Baba together with Balaram in the mud. Why was it muddy? The cows had past, we say respectfully cow dung, cow dung in the dust, and they had also urinated in the dust. And this mixture of dust, cow dung, and cow urine was so dear to Krishna that he would crawl as a little baby, like little snakes. He looked like a black snake and Balaram like a white snake. They would crawl in the mud. They would not think, oh, this mud is very useless, I'm very dirty. When they were frightened, you know, as little boys, they were playing in the mud, and sometimes people came by and they had anger bells, and they thought, this is mother and father, you know, so they came close, crawling close to them. But then they thought they were strangers, and they became, then they saw these people were not mother and father, not Nanda and Yashoda, but were different. And they pretended to be afraid and quickly ran on the lap of Mother Yashoda, and all the Brajaraj with a nice mixture from the cows came on the clean Zari of Mother Yashoda. But she did not think this is dirt. She appreciated this very much, you know, because it's Krishna Balaram likes this earth so much that he will not even go in shoes. He wants to touch it with his bare foot. He never goes in shoes here. Everywhere else God wears shoes, not in Braj. There he is without sapalis, without shoes. So later in the age of Poganda, Krishna would go further from home, and even though Mother Yashoda had decorated him with jewels and golden bangles and so on, Krishna, but when he would enter the forest of Vrindavan, put the jewels down, and he would crack some little twigs and put them on his ears, some flowers, and often he would dug a little in the earth, and then there was soft mud which was colored mineral dough, and he would make special decorations on his face. Ladies in this world know some decoration called rouge, isn't it? From Paris. But Krishna would take from the earth, and he would be very colorful. Red, yellow would be very much nice. And sometimes the cowherd friends also painted nice decorations on Krishna. He would what else? He would eat the different fruits. He would find peacock feathers and he would put them in the crown. And in this way Krishna showed his love for Vrindavan. There is in the Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, 12th chapter, verse 7 to 11, I found some very nice descriptions of Krishna's pastimes with the cowherd boys. I remember he would, the boys would sometimes, you know, see the shades of birds on the ground, and they would run with the shades. Also, they would find wells, and they would call out in the wells different names. They would call each other bad names. They would say, "You fool!" And then it came out of the well, came, "You fool!" Bah! And they would say, "There's a ghost living inside, you know. You extreme big fool. You extreme big fool." And they would play like this. They would sometimes also go and sit peacefully next to monkeys. And then they would pull the tails, and then the monkeys would get all upset, and they would laugh. They would play in the waterfalls, swimming, or they would sit next to the frogs, and when the frogs would jump, they would jump after the frogs. Like little boys do, they would play in Vrindavan, and this would give them tremendous ecstasy. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami thinks of these pastimes, and he makes a nice point. He says, let me see. I worship that sublime, most sublime abode, Sri Vrindavan, which is saturated with the sweet aroma emanating from the lotus feet. I lost it. I take shelter of Sri Krishna's most favorite pasture and ground, which is dearer to him than Mathura. Even today, affectionate Lord Krishna enjoys the very sweet nectar of transcendental pastimes there. A wonderful sweetness becomes manifest in the hearts of they who understand the nectar of this place. When you are in Vrindavan and you are in a respectful mood to Vrindavan, understanding that this Vrindavan is very, very special, and worship Vrindavan overlooking your material vision, which sometimes tells you, oh, it's dirty here, or the people are a little rough, and so on. When you behave properly in Vrindavan, then you can also experience an extraordinary sweetness. Only if you commit offenses in Vrindavan can you not get the sweetness. But when you have this respectful attitude, then the sweetness of Vrindavan becomes manifested in your heart. I think you have all made some experience of this, isn't it? It usually comes in moments, like when we do Govardhan Parikrama. Then very often we feel all of a sudden touched in our hearts with some very sublime Krishna conscious feelings. It's Giriraj blesses us with that sweetness. Or we sit at Radhakund and we think, my God, this is the best place. I can't believe that I'm here. A wonderful sweetness becomes manifest in the hearts of they who understand the nectar of this place. A very good example is Madhavendra Puri, who was on Govardhan Parikrama and ended his parikrama at Govindakund, where he stayed. There he engaged in his Namvrata of chanting, and all of a sudden he saw a little boy standing with a cup full of milk there, and the boy said, this milk is for you, Goswami. You don't go begging. And that was a fact. Madhavendra Puri would be so absorbed in the ecstasy of love of God that he didn't do madhukari like usual sadhus do. He just stayed and waited for the arrangement of the Lord. And here this little boy came. The boys announced, he said, I come from this village, Anyor, that's the next village to Govindakund, and the ladies told me that you are sitting here and you are most probably hungry. No one goes hungry near my village, so I brought you this milk. I will come and collect the pot in the evening. You continue your chanting. So Madhavendra Puri continued after this his chanting, but there was something else in his chanting, an unknown sweetness, and he again and again remembered the boy, and as he remembered the boy, who had brought him the milk, he felt greatly touched in his heart, and he didn't know exactly why. When he drank the milk, he was full of ecstasy, so much so that he couldn't sleep, go to bed in the night, but continued to chant in the evening, you know, in the night. He wouldn't go to sleep, and as he would go later into the night, he expected, when is this boy coming back? It's already, the sun is already down. When is he coming back? And, the boy didn't come back until it was early in the morning. Then he appeared in Madhavendra's heart. You know, it is described this sweetness becomes manifest in the hearts. So Krishna himself became manifest in the heart of Madhavendra Puri, and he said, "Please, I'm very hungry. I'm lying since a long time under a bush where my priest was hiding me when the Muslims invaded, and he was afraid that they would break my form. So he has brought me under this bush and dug me and put some earth under me, but I have not eaten anything. My body is very hot. Just can you get me out, please?" And then the boy disappeared. Puri thought, "My God, that was Krishna, and Krishna is here. Now, tomorrow, first thing, I will wake up some good Brijbasis, and we will dig out the Lord." So he went to Anyo, ecstatically banged at the door of the Brijbasis. They woke up. "Oh, Gosai, it's very early. It's very early. You come, bring your shovels. The Lord has appeared." "What?" They came all, brought their shovels, and they were led by Madhavendra Puri to the designed place. And there, the deity was unearthed. He can be found today in Natadva, this deity. And a Pratibhu, a manifestation of this deity, can be still found at Govindakot. You have maybe seen. So this deity has appeared. This makes a very nice point to us. Just like Krishna's personality is non-different from his holy name, Krishna's personality is also non-different from the deity. Same. The deity had appeared to him and he had walked to him. The deity had walked to the Madhavendra Puri and guided him to where he was hiding. He said, "I'm hungry," you know. But it takes some time for us to realize how the deity is non-different from Krishna, and how the holy name is not different from Krishna. And here, we are dedicated to this project, of course, here in Vrindavan. So, anyways, even today the Lord is here, and he is manifesting himself in the hearts of pure devotees. Having said this, we have now to just summarize. There are different spiritual realms: Brahman, Vaikuntha, and Dwaraka, and Mathura. And they are all rated as being higher because you can perform seva to the Lord in higher forms there. Your seva vritti becomes manifested, which brings you into the kingdom of rasa, or a relationship to Krishna. As you are here in Vrindavan, I really want to bring back this point to you. Don't think Braj is for relaxing. Don't think Braj is for just you know, being you know, sleeping out the stress from the preaching tours in the West. Braj has a higher purpose. Braj is an area where our service to Krishna can manifest more clearly and more dearly, where the spark of that service attitude, which is here in this material world a little bit manifested, can become a good, good, wonderful, impressive forest fire. So what we do here, the service which we do here mostly in Braj, is Shravanam and Kirtanam, the two gates into the palace of bhakti. Please don't see your chanting and your reading as something which is not a service. It is the service to be done here in Braj. So tomorrow we will hear what is in Raghunath Das Goswami's mind as he is discussing these higher and higher realms. You will find out tomorrow that he takes us on a journey, but he really doesn't want us to stop there. He wants us to go further than even what he has explained in text 6, that Braj is very sweet because of the cowherd pastimes. Tomorrow he will say, what makes Vrindavan's real sweetness? We will discuss this, and when we come, when we come the day after tomorrow here, we will tell Bhadra what we have learned in text 6 and do text 8. Tomorrow you have to suffer a little with that expectation. What is it? What is it? What is it? Raghunath Das Goswami's mind. He's not telling everything in text 6. When he glorifies Vrindavan, he only glorifies Vrindavan incompletely. Tomorrow he will glorify Vrindavan completely. So we will end here. We will put Braj Vilas Stava to rest now, and tomorrow listen to it more. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami ki jai, Sri Braj Vilas Stava ki jai, jai jai Sri Radhe, jai jai Sri Radhe, jai jai Sri Radhe, Shyam.